Amen. Wow, it is an honor to be here in Cape Town. And I want to say thank you so much for just the amazing time that we've had here. It's been a dream come true for my wife and I to be here in Cape Town. I want to say thank you for having us. And you have a beautiful city. It's an amazing city. It's a cold city, but it's an amazing city. This is very chilly for us. This is winter for us. We thought Santa Claus is going to be coming pretty soon. And God has really blessed you with an incredible city, incredible people. And I want to say thank you for allowing my wife and I to be here. We have fallen in love with your city. And God has really blessed you. Thank you so much again for the Cape Town Church. The Cape Town Church of Christ, you're an amazing church. And may God continue to bless your faithfulness and your love for God. Thank you for having us. I want to say thank you for all the friends and family that are here today visiting. I know many of you for the very first time. And like what Paul said, you walked in and said, what in the world kind of church is this? And, you know, I had the same feeling when I came to church for the first time. And they weren't wearing costumes. But it is awesome to see everybody here on International Day. We had no idea that we'll be here with you on International Day. So we want to say thank you for you taking time out to be here. You are our special guest today. And may God move your heart to understand how much he loves you. And I want to say again, it's great to be with Paul and Jax. We love you guys very much. And thank you so much for our friendship, your faithfulness, your example. So thankful for having us here, and we love you guys very much. And it was great spending individual time with the other brothers and sisters who showed us the most beautiful places of Cape Town. And yet, I have to say this, that you have a great church, a great city, a great people. And I like what Jennifer said. I'm married to Jennifer Lopez, the real Jennifer Lopez. There's an advantage having someone named Jennifer Lopez, but I have to say this, this is the real deal. The other one is an imposter. As they say in Joburg, a bootlegger. And, you know, we were in Joburg before we came here. They gave me an African name. I was in Soweto, and I spoke there, and they changed my name from Cesar to Mankba. So I'm leaving here with all sorts of memories and inspiration, and I pray that today the Word of God will inspire all of us. Amen. And today I want to talk to you about Jonah. And I don't know if you've heard of Jonah. He was the guy that was in the belly of the great fish. And what I want to talk to you about today, and I pray through God's word, will inspire you and I to do something great for God. Because our God is not a boring God. Our God is an amazing God. And I pray that the word of God will inspire you to understand how much God's great love is for you and I and for other people. And that's what I want to talk about today, is about doing great things for God. And why did I pick Jonah? Because God wanted him to do something great, but he wasn't fired up to do it at first. So before I do that, can I give you a little introduction? Can I take you on a big plane and bring you to Southeast Asia? Okay, so we're going to go on a big plane right now, and I'm going to upgrade you to all first class. All right? And the food will come later on, okay? But I'm going to take you all the way to Southeast Asia. So we're going to fly over the continent of Africa. And we're going to go over India. We'll take the long route because when you're on first class, you don't mind being delayed a little longer. So I'm going to take you all the way to Asia Pacific. And Asia Pacific right now. Let me see the slide, please. Okay, here we go. So Asia Pacific. I bring you greetings from the churches in Asia Pacific. We have 34 churches there. We have 4,300 disciples. A population of close to 200 million people to help bring the gospel to. Three of our churches are underground. And my wife and I, we've been serving in Cambodia for the last 6 years. Cambodia is an amazing place, and many of you have heard. During the genocide, about 2 million Khmers or Cambodians were killed. What that meant that if you wore glasses, you'd be killed. If you're a teacher, you'd be killed. If you're a doctor, you would be killed. If you had any political ties with authorities of the former government, you would be killed. So we have a lot of our Christians, our brothers and sisters, who literally saw their family members killed. And the amazing thing, it's a very sad situation. And many of your brothers and sisters don't know exactly when they were born. They don't know the exact days because all of the records were erased. But when they become Christians and they know when they're spiritually born, we said, hey, no problem. Pick a physical date. But don't go too off on the years. Amen. Sisters, don't go too off the years. Try to be accurate as possible. And so they pick a date. What's so amazing is that most of the Christians, guess what dates they pick for their birthday? Christmas, New Year, and Valentine's. And I say that to you because despite the challenges that the country has gone through, I want to tell you this, that God is doing amazing things. The church was planted 20 years ago. And when they first landed there, you couldn't go out after 7 p.m. Very dangerous. But the brothers who went there had a dream and a faith to do something great for God. We not only plant a church, but we've got to help the people here physically. We've got to help them academically. What can we do? And to make a long story short, God opened many doors. And we now have a hospital there that has served over 1 million people for free. Many people in the country, they don't remember the name of the hospital. It's CNU Hospital Center of Hope. But all they know is that the hospital is run by Christians, so they call it the Angel Hospital. And for a population of 14 to 16 million, for 1 million people to be treated, you know, it's getting a lot of publicity. But how is that? It was because of God. Because you had some brothers who just dreamed, what can we do? I'm not a doctor. You're a doc. You're not a doctor. Let's just pray and see what God can do. And God opened the doors. It's amazing. Now we not only have one hospital, but there's several medical centers, several other hospitals that are run by disciples to impact that world. I'm amazed by God. What can we do academically? One of the brothers and his family, Frank Kim, they said, we got to start a school. So they started a school to give free education. And after 10 years, there are close to 300 students there. It's an amazing school. You'd be blown away by the children there. But a lot of the teachers there are disciples. And they do use a lot of Christian value teaching. What really stands out? The amazing thing, next slide please, is that in that school, we have our first graduates this year. And in the senior class, there's about 25. A half of them are disciples. Many of them are studying the Bible. And these are two of the teens getting baptized together. That's how we roll in Cambodia. It's a two-for-one thing. And give you an idea, this is one of our Bible talks. It's very, very, very common for our Bible talks to have over 60 people. They just love the Word of God. So I say this. So we're still on the plane, right? Okay. So Cambodia is an amazing place. And I say this to you because God is doing great things. The church there is growing. The church there is in love with God. And today I want to share with you about, despite the challenges, our God is doing great things. Because our God is a great God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 43, the boy was healed for evil spirit, and Jesus healed him. And the Bible says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. I want to ask you a question. Does the world see a great God in you? Greatness is required to change the world. Not a superficial greatness that is temporary. We speak of that moment in time when a people selflessly bring remarkable qualities of character and capability into service of a worthy cause. That is true greatness. Greatness occurred when the apostles of Jesus led the first century church on a worldwide mission to proclaim the gospel to every corner of the world. They had their international day. Yet in the world, we understand political and wartime leaders do great things. Civil rights leaders and activists do great things. Yet something that the church doesn't do great things, but should only do good things. But there's only one problem. God is not just good, but he's great. And the greatness of God requires that the church be great. Which the call of the hour is for every disciple who's been changed by the cross to do something great for God. And that's the God we worship. And I pray that today you would leave here understanding that God is not a boring God, but he's an amazing God. So that's what I want to share with you today about Jonah. Jonah was a pretty interesting guy. And God asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh. Can I give you a brief overview? Nineveh was beautiful, but the Ninevites were very evil people. They were known to be evil and bloodthirsty. You know, they said if two people visited Nineveh and they went to the city and they didn't recognize you, what they would do is they'll take both of you, they'll kill your partner, and they'll have you walk around Nineveh with the head of your partner. People, when they heard that the Ninevites were coming to their city, they opt to kill themselves through suicide instead of battling the Ninevites. They're very evil people at that time. And cities would tremble when they heard that the Ninevites are coming. Now get this. The Bible said it was a great city, and if you look in Jonah, it says right here that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. What? The book of Jonah opens up with this call from the Lord. It says the word of the Lord to Jonah said, yo, Joe, I want you to go to Nineveh. And do you think Jonah was fired up? To go to the place where they murdered the people that he's known? To go to a place that was full of hatred? Bloodthirsty? Jonah said, what in the world are you trying to tell me to do, Lord? Now you look at chapter 1, this is where Jonah lived. And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was northeast. So guess what Jonah did? He said, see ya, I'm going west. He said, I'm going to take a cruise, God. I'm going to get on the first ship, and I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go towards Spain, towards Tarshish. I am not going to go there. That's what, in a nutshell, chapter 1 says. Can we jump to chapter 2? So guess what happens in chapter 2? You know, when the Lord wants you to do something, he's going to make his point pretty clear. When the Lord wants to get your attention, let me tell you, the Lord is stronger than an alarm clock. He's going to do whatever he can to get your attention because he's a great God and he wants to do great things in you and I. So as Jonah was getting a suntan and sleeping on the cruise ship, the Bible says that the Lord sent a great storm. Not a small storm, but a great storm, because he wanted him to go to a great city. And then the crew freaked out. They said, what did they say? Yo! Is that right? Joe! Is that what they said here? Yeah, they said, Joe! Jonah! They said, what did you do wrong? I said, well, let me tell you my story. Oh my goodness, we don't really want to do this, but we're going to have to throw you off the ship. So guess what? They throw him off the ship, and the Bible says a great fish. Not a small fish, but the Bible says a great fish. The minute they threw Jonah out for chum, this great fish swallowed Jonah. Can you imagine that? I do still have a dream to go great white shark cage diving here in Cape Town. But I don't want to go there now. But, you know, so here's Jonah and the belly of the great fish. Let's jump to chapter 3. But what happens in Jonah chapter 2, look what it says. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So what you see right here, he gets swallowed by the fish, right? You know how long he was in the belly of the fish? 3 days. But the Bible says he just started praying now. So I don't know what he was doing on day one and day two. He must have had an attitude. He must have been eating some sashimi. But whatever it came, he came to his senses and said, I remember. Oh my goodness. God. Chapter 2 is an amazing chapter. God, I remember your sacrifice. I remember you. God, who am I? You are the God of salvation. God, I am just grateful. He had a change of heart. I believe you and I would have a change of heart if we're in the fish for 3 days. So you know what happened? On the third day, when he prayed, the fish said, and spit it out, Jonah. And thus Jonah right there saying, yo. He said, is this Tarshish? No, it's where he started, Joppa. He said, that dock looks familiar. I'm back in Joppa. So basically when he was going west, the whale was taking him back east. And on the third day when he prayed, boom, he's back at the place where God wanted him to be. Why is this so important? Because what we see right here is that God had a great message for the people of Nineveh. And today I want to help you understand two things about the amazing word of God and about the amazing message we bring. This is not an ordinary book. It's not another philosophical idea. It's the word of God that changes lives, that have built kingdoms and raised kingdoms, that have changed lives forever. It's amazing. And not only that, you heard what Paul shared. You heard what Jennifer said. I mean, after what they shared, we can go home now and go eat our international food. Because the message, when we allow this to change us, our lives, is amazing. It's great. And that's what I want to share with you today. Are you guys with me? So first thing I want to talk about is the amazing word of God. As we see in Jonah chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Remember the first time? How he responded? He got in the ship and he went the other way. But this time he had a second chance. In Hebrew, it's called shene, which means second time. Jonah got a second chance to hear the word of God. I'm grateful that we have a God that gives us a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. Amen. Because the world doesn't give us second chances at times. But we see right here that the word of God, Jonah received it in a different heart. Why? The Bible says that Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Jonah. This time he said, okay, no more fish. I'm going to go. What helped the word of God move Jonah this time? Well, he was humbled. As you see in chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. The Bible said he remembered. You know, verse 9, he said he was grateful. Gratitude is important. You know, whenever you're in a funky situation and you don't know spiritually, emotionally, where's north, south, east, west, gratitude is like a compass. It'll put your heart in the right place. So he changed his heart towards the word of God. You know, we live in an area that's very Buddhist. Most people think that Jesus is the Red Cross. Most people associate with Jesus that if I know Jesus, go to church, I'll probably get a job. Most people know Jesus, when it's Christmas time, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get a gift. But you know, it's amazing when we let them know who Jesus really is, they're blown away. He did that? Because most Khmers, especially from the past, if you tell them that he died on the cross and this is what happened to them, said, so what? Let me tell you what happened to my mom. Nailed to the cross. Let me tell you what happened to my uncle. But when they understand he did it out of his love, they said, no ways. And because of that, the Word of God comes alive. That's how the Bible should be. It shouldn't be a boring book. And I want to ask you a question today, especially for the Christians. Can I ask you a question? Are you amazed by the Word of God? In Proverbs 28, verse 18, the Bible says, King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What this says is that our vision of great things comes from knowing the Word of God. And when we know the Word of God and we love the Word of God, amazing things happen. You know one thing I love about your city? Cape Town? It reminds me of the place I was brought up in. I was brought up in Los Angeles, an area called Palos Verdes, Rolling Hills. It's a very affluent area. I'm the only boy, grew up in a family business. We owned hotels and restaurants. My father was a mayor in one of the cities in L.A., being first-generation Filipino from immigrant family, my parents had big dreams for me to take over the family business. You know, I grew up very religious. I went to church all the time. But honestly, at many times it was full of hypocrisy. I hated my father because the only way we get close is through the family business. Business goes well, I'm a good son. Business doesn't go well, I'm a bad boy. And all I want to do is be close to my father. I had the religious blanket, but I was immoral. Started falling immorality when I was 14, 15 years old. I said, I'll stop. I go to church. I go to church on Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday is either pornography or immorality. But yet on outside, everyone said, that's a good boy. I only drove German cars, Porsches or Mercedes. Had two Porsches that I loved very much. And I didn't feel like driving, we had four limos that could take us anywhere. I say this to you because, you know, back then my father had this dream for me. And my father taught me one thing, being brought up in America, there's no such thing as black people, white people, brown people, or yellow people. He said, the only people you know are green. The color of the dollar. That's the only color you know. Otherwise, there's no other types of color. Everyone is green. And you know, they're there for you. I said, wow, Dad, okay. So I grew up like that. And then one day, my father said, you know, son, business is good, but it'll take you this far. But politics will take you this far. And I said, okay, Dad, I'm going to become the president of the Philippines. And we had relatives who served in high office in the Philippines, but that was a dream, was to become president of the Philippines. And that's all I focused on. So the girlfriend that I chose, she has to be first lady quality. Has to be. And I saw her, I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry. So you better be ready. If you have any blackmail material, I need to know now. Because this is where we're going. And then when she said that she was pregnant, I didn't second thoughts. I said, we can't have the baby. And I know she was crushed. But I was so focused on myself, on my dream, on my ambition, that having an abortion was the best option. It was more feasible. I didn't like children. I thought children were a liability. I didn't think that I could be faithful to one woman. That's the life I grew up. My father and I would fight. He would hit me, but I wouldn't hit him because he was smaller. I said, I know if I get just one punch, it's going to hurt him. So I can't do that because he did buy me the Porsche, so I can't do that. I go to church. How many times they ask, come pray Jesus in your heart? I always be on the left side of the stage. I had my VIP section to pray Jesus in my heart every single week. I said, nothing's changing. But you know what really hit me? Is that I had so many friends, so many events to go to, so many dreams, but I was lonely. And I'll never forget one day, so I can't live my life the way it is. So I took my gun and I put it to my head. And I said, I thought about how my mom and my sister's going to find me. I said, I can't live this life. I graduated from college. I've got the businesses in my name. I've got all the nice things. I've got the right woman. I've got the right dream. Something is missing. I praise God I didn't pull the trigger. Instead, I cried myself to sleep. Shortly after that, not too long, my girlfriend called me. And she said, hey, I'm studying the Bible. I'm going to Bible talk. I said, don't go. It's a cult. And that same week, she got invited to the same Bible talk from someone else. And she called me afterwards. I said, hey, I went to a Bible talk and I loved it. I'm studying the Bible. I'm going to become a true Christian. Wow. And I'm on my knees going, thank you, God. I am so happy that you helped her find the truth. And I said, congratulations. I knew we needed God together. Oh, by the way, you're not a Christian and you're going to hell. She challenged me. I said, wait a minute. This is the girl that's always been wrapped around my finger. This is the girl that whenever I said, come here, go there, she would listen. And now all of a sudden she's telling me these words that I'm not a Christian and I'm going to hell. Wait a minute. Something's wrong. I flew to the church in San Francisco, and I walked in. I said, who are these people? I was like this. And then all of a sudden, many people want to hug me. I said, okay, the women I'll hug, but the guys I'm not going to hug. I'll be respectful. And then when we started singing, that was a weird experience. Someone put their arm around me. And then another person put their other arm around me. And to make it worse, I started swinging from left to right. I said, hey, I'm from LA. I know this trick. I guard my wallet. Then after that, I didn't know who was the minister because everyone who came up was so fired up. The guy who brought the water was fired up. I said, maybe he's the minister. Then the guy gets up there, he starts preaching the word, and he starts talking about how he was in the family business. He was trapped with immorality. He opted to abortion. He gave up his family business. He became a Christian. He followed God. He went into the full-time ministry, and I said, this is a setup. This is a setup, I know. Then afterwards, I don't know how many people, it was the most time in 15 minutes, how many people asked me to have lunch? I said, in the business world, this is kind of weird. What do you want from me? But I had an apartment in San Francisco, and my girlfriend was staying there, And that night, I purposely missed my flight because I wanted to spend time. I know you became a Christian. I respect you. You stay in your room. I'll stay in the living room. But come 2 o'clock, I go. I know my plan. It's cold. Don't you remember the good old times? But you know what she did? The phone rang. I said, oh, it's the Christians again. She came out and she held the Bible like this. And she was shaking. And she said, in the Bible, I said, how do you know the Bible? Well, in Ephesians 5, verse 3, well, turn it the right side up, then maybe it'll help you out. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, it says, not even a hint of sexual morality. You can't stay here. I said, what? You're kicking me out of the apartment I'm paying for. And she said, not even a hint of sexual morality. Get out of here. And I said, wow. This woman is standing on the word of God. You know, if she would have compromised then, I don't think I would be here. If she would have compromised just one itty bit from the word of God, I wouldn't be standing here right now. But you know what? I was amazed because she loved the word of God. And you know what happened? It inspired me to study the word of God. And it gave me the courage to change my life. You know, I saw the sin destroying my life. And I'm so grateful when I studied the Bible, I repented of my sins. And 2 weeks later, I was baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. And I'll never forget coming out the waters. I said, whoa, this is amazing. Fantastic. You know, I opened my eyes because I said, maybe I'll see Jesus. But the water was too salty. I said, oh, this hurts. But anyways, I came and said, yeah! Woo! This is it! I went to my sisters. Hey, you gotta know the word of God! How much money you need? No, I don't need any money. I love you, sis! Oh, come on. They laughed at me. My mom, you gotta know the word of God. This is amazing. Oh, come on. Jesus can't pay for your bills. It's okay, Dad. Dad, you gotta know the word of God. Okay, how was business last week? It's okay. I know you don't want it right now, but this is amazing. You know what? We gotta ask ourselves today. Are we still amazed by the word of God? Because you know, when you're amazed by the word of God, you know what? It's contagious. In a good way. Love for the word of God is evident by, love for God is evident by the love for his word. How I love your law, Psalms 119. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 6. Love the Lord with all, Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. When you're excited by the word of God, you will share the excitement. That's how I felt when I went to church for the first time. So what was Jonah's problem? You know what Jonah's problem was? He had spiritual pride. He was willing to forgive. He didn't have hope. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. He didn't trust in God. He stopped growing spiritually. When you're amazed by God, it's contagious. In Vietnam, we have a church in Vietnam. It's underground. But they're fired up. But you know what they used for Bibles? They had to use Xerox copies of Bibles. Till one day, a church that was closing called them and said, would you like some Bibles? And I said, sure, come over. They thought it was 5 or 4, but it was a lot of Bibles. And they went to go pick up the Bibles. They said, bro, we got to come, we got Bibles. So they picked up the Bibles. And in their midweek devotional, guess what they did? They gave out the Bibles. They surprised the church and gave out the Bibles to each brother, sister. And you know what they did? They cried. My own Bible? My Bible? You mean no more Xerox copying? My Bible. That's the love for God. The brother who leads the church. Before he went on a mission team, this man came to his house and beat him with a stick in front of his mom, in front of his children. beat him and said, "How dare you go plant a church in Hanoi?" His kids didn't know what was happening. And his son said, "Dad, why did they beat you?" And he said, "Son, if you do great things for God, not everyone's going to like it." "Wow, Dad, let them beat you more, Dad." You know what happened? His son was so inspired. He studied the Bible. And last year, that's on the far left, that's the first teen convert in Vietnam. How did they get there? It was the Word of God. They loved the Word of God. Let me take you to Myanmar. Can I take you to Myanmar? Formerly Burma. I shared this on Friday, but I got to share it again. This brother, I can't tell you his real name because it's an underground church. If I tell you his real name, it would put him in danger. But let's just use Ricky, okay? Ricky loves the Word of God. His heart was, "I can't go outside, I can't live out Myanmar, because I've got to share it with my family." So what you see right here are 18 of his family members who all became Christians. He's working and helping on 19, 20, and 21. See, when you love the Word of God, it's contagious. So can I say this to you? Let the Word of God transform you. Let the Word of God inspire you. Let the Word of God change your life forever. Amen? Amen. Now, what's amazing is that when you have the Word of God, you know what happened in closing? You have an amazing message to bring. Look in Jonah chapter 3. So we see Jonah. And right here, the Lord says, "Go to Nineveh." And he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message I tell you." So it's 100 miles from there to where Nineveh was. And you can only imagine what Jonah was thinking. What kind of lesson am I going to teach? Okay, I'm going to have 10 points. Don't kill, love one another. Don't worry, be happy. You know, he was really working on his lesson, but then the Lord gave him a simple message. And it says in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That was his lesson. So he goes in there. He said, "This is Nineveh. Wow, this doesn't tell me. I'm surprised I'm still alive." And he walks in there. It takes 3 days to walk the whole place. But he gets in there and he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned, and to God be the glory. That was it. And you know what happened? The Bible said the Ninevites didn't kill him. You know what they said? The Ninevites believed in God. See, when God saw that they had turned from the evil's ways, he had compassion and did not bring the destruction that he had threatened them in verse 10. This amazing message changed them forever. You know, we have an amazing message. That amazing message today is that God loves you. And God loves the people that we know. The amazing message in our lives is so important, because somewhere out there, as Christians, there's someone who's going through the same struggles, and they want to know, how do I have a different marriage? How do I be faithful? There are teens out there saying, "Hey, I'm really contemplating taking my life. I need help. And I need something that's going to help me change my life." They're out there. They're in Asia. They're in here, Cape Town. But it's important for you to understand that what we have is amazing. So what is my challenge for you and I today? Can I leave you with this challenge? Find your Nineveh. And what do I mean by that? There are ways that God moves in our hearts. He puts people on our hearts. He puts places on our hearts. And you know what else he does? He puts a sin on our heart that we know we want to change. And we need help. And when you go to those areas, you will see God do amazing things. But don't be afraid. Maybe there's someone you care and you know this will change your life. That's your Nineveh. Maybe it's your own family. Maybe it's this place that you have in your heart. This is my hometown. Maybe God wants you to do something great there. Maybe there's just an area in your life that you need help in. Hey, we all need help. Right? I need help. That's the area you got to let God work. You know, there was this girl named Sapon. And she went to church. She became a Christian. And what happened was, oh, it was before this, before slide. Sapon was praying. And when she was praying, her father would come and beat her with a belt. Stop praying. Stop praying. And she wouldn't stop praying. Next week, she's praying. Father does the same thing. He's drunk, takes his belt, starts beating her. And what she was just focusing on is just how God has changed your life, and if my father can only have a chance to know God. So the father was upset, and he said, I'm going to church. Let me see who else I could beat. So he goes to church. This is what I'm beating my daughter for? He was moved. He starts studying the Bible. His wife starts studying the Bible. He apologized to his daughter. I am so sorry for being drunk, for beating you. I am so sorry. You know what happened? His wife became a Christian. He became a Christian. His two other sons became a Christian. And you know what? He plays the bass in our church right now. Sapon knew that the word of God was amazing and the message was amazing. And it changed his whole family. Amazing message. You know, Sachia, and I shared this story on Friday, had a dream to bring education back to his village. Didn't know where. But said, I got to do something to bring education to my village. Being a survivor of Pol Pot, watching my family get killed, being an orphan. I need to do something. Not only that, but help them see God. All he had was a dream to do something great for God. And you know what? After a year putting his dream together, he received some funding. He said, great, wow, I'll take this. In 4 years, his school has over 1,000 students there. He was recently put into the CNN Heroes. And not only that, his daughter there was baptized last year. You know, you got to find your Nineveh. Cape Town needs a church to bring the message. Not just an ordinary message, but an amazing message. I mean, just studying up on Cape Town. Wow, your officials here have a lot of big dreams. Big dreams for Cape Town. Looking at the population, it's going to grow. That's a prediction. Interesting facts about Cape Town. I've learned so much about your city. You have an amazing city. But then I hear that a lot of people are having vision for Cape Town. But the vision, like we said earlier, should come for men and women who've been changed by the Word of God. And that vision to help people's lives change forever will impact individuals where, whenever the population is, whatever the economic is, in the future, because you have a vision. Find your Nineveh today. And you know what? God will work powerfully. Well, I don't know how to study the Bible, dude. I'm afraid. It's okay. It's okay. I needed help too. But I'm afraid to be open about my life. I was afraid too. But you know what's amazing? When I studied the Bible and they asked me, how am I doing? I said, I could do two things. One, say, I'm doing okay, or be real and honest. And I said, I'm tired of the sin. I want to be real and honest. And you know, when I was real and honest, you know what? I couldn't stop talking. Even to this very day, I can't stop talking. I said, this is what I struggle with. And these guys that were talking, you struggle with that too? Wow, I thought it was only me. You hated your father too? Yeah, really? Me too. Wow, I didn't know that. Tell me, why did you help? This is what I did. Wow, that's amazing. I've been in so many meetings about this and that, but let me tell you, my friend, that was awesome. And I haven't known these guys for less than one day, and I felt like they're my best friend. You know, God will set you up if you really want to do great things for God. And that's what the Bible says in Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He gave them the Holy Spirit. Now let me share this insight with you. Now remember Jonah. He lived in the whale or the belly of the fish for 3 days, right? And when he came out of that fish, he smelled very unique. So he had to take a 100-mile walk to Nineveh. And he gets there. People are saying, look at that guy. Oh, man. And he's walking around and said, that's a different type of cologne you have. Then he gets up there. And before he preaches, someone asked me, can I do your introduction? And he says, yeah, I was a prophet and I lived in the fish for 3 days. And I'm here to tell you that your city is going to get destroyed by God if you don't change. What? Did you hear that? He just came out of the fish. And the word went out. Hey, this guy just came out of the fish. Who came out of the fish? No, I was about to kill him. No, he came out of the fish. And all the kids are running. Hey, it's the fish man. The king heard about the fish man. And then they heard about his message. And they were open to his message. And matter of fact, the king said, I believe it. And you know what? Everyone else will believe it. Even the animals fasted. It said that. Everyone believed. Interesting thing is this. Can I share something with you? Nineveh, they had a god. You know what their god was? Dagon. And you know what? Dagon was a fish god. So here they got Jonah, fearing that he's going to be killed. They're going to cut my head off, kick it around like a soccer ball. And he didn't realize it until he gets there later on that they worship a fish god. So here's Jonah coming out of a great fish. You were the father of the fish. Said, yeah, I lived in the fish for 3 days. Yeah, that's me. Jonah, but in Cape Town, they call me, yo. But he didn't know that, but God set him up. God works in amazing ways. I've known people who became Christians because they got in a car accident. Now, that's not the best way to evangelize. Don't try that. I know people walking in the supermarket and say, hey, what's your name? What's your name? Over fruits. Find the word of God. You know, God has a great message for you and I today. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You know, after I became a Christian, both of my sisters became Christians. You know, it's amazing. A year after that, my mother became a Christian. And we would pray, God, please move in my dad's heart. My dad was living in the Philippines. And said, I'll never study the Bible, only with you. But Dad, I'm not in the Philippines, I'm in L.A. Nope, that's my deal, only with you. Then I was in the ministry, and the brother said, we have some good news and bad news. What do you want to hear? The bad news? We're asking you to move to the Philippines. And I didn't want to get too fired up, because he was sad. I said, oh, bro, are you serious? Yeah, I'm going to the Philippines, yeah! And I get to the Philippines. Man, they said, this is where you're going to stay. You know what was in our room? Nothing. Only a floor, a wooden floor. I said, this is it. The mosquitoes come and get me. They smell fresh blood. The pollution was so strong, I had black rings around my nose. I said, this is it! And then I saw my dad. I said, Dad, I'm here. Remember what you said? What? I don't remember. You said you studied the Bible. If I'm here. I'm here. We studied the Bible. Galatians 5. We studied 8 hours. I said, wow, Dad, no wonder I'm like this. DNA sin. The hardest thing for my dad... And this was his question. can God really forgive me for what I've done?
I said, of course, Dad, he can. He can forgive you.
We showed him the cross, Jesus. I'll never forget holding his hand and looking at his eyes and asking for his good confession. I'll never forget taking him in the waters of baptism. I said, this is unreal. I took him under the water, and I kept him in the water for a long time. We're going to get it all out, Dad. Remember when you blamed me that time, Dad? Yeah, Dad. Okay. No. Oh, Dad, I love you. I love you, too. But you know what he said? He said, I love you. And I said, I love you too. Let me tell you, those words was more valuable than all the money we made. At this time, we lost the family business. I decided to go into ministry. At this time, I didn't want to be the president of the Philippines anymore. At this time, my father lost everything. Don't have the Porsche. Matter of fact, what we have now is a tuk-tuk. You come to Cambodia, I'll tell you what a tuk-tuk is. Or go Google it. We don't have all that. I don't have the nice Italian clothes I used to have. Matter of fact, I've had this suit for how many years? I don't know. If you look at my shoes, you look at them closely, they're talking. I don't need the Porsche. I don't need the houses on the hill. I don't need that because God changed my life. Do I wish I had some of that sometimes? Yeah, I'll be honest. But you know what? I have to go back and remember that the Word of God was amazing. This message I have is amazing. I do what I do because of Jesus. That's why. My relatives became Christians. I go preach in the mountains of the Philippines. They come out there in trash trucks. Why? Because that's the only truck that can take them to the river. And they're standing there in rows and saying, these are my relatives. And they're smiling, getting a chance to know God. And you remember the girl who told me that I wasn't Christian and I'm going to hell? Remember that? She became my wife. And I don't deserve to have Jennifer. I don't deserve to have the kids I have now. I say this to you today because I am grateful that God has changed my life, and really it's not about me. It's about the power of God. Those are my children. I have a son that thinks he's Justin Bieber. Filipino Justin Bieber. You see those two girls? Those are both my daughters. I'm just kidding. That's one daughter and my wife. And, you know, I didn't love family. I love families now. I love my marriage. I love my children. You know, I'm glad that Jonah went and did something great for God. And today I say, find your Nineveh. Maybe for many of us who are here today, study the Bible. Study the Bible. See God's love. Well, I know the Bible. I know the Bible. But let me ask you, is the Bible changing you? There's one thing to know the Bible here. There's another thing to know the Bible here. When you know the Bible, it changes you. Amen. Let it change you. Let discover God's love. For many of our brothers and sisters, it's so great to be with you here in Cape Town. Thank you so much. But can I encourage you to be amazed by the Word of God and be amazed by how God has changed your life? You have an incredible message. An incredible message, like Paul, like Jennifer. You have been changed by God, a great God. And I pray through all of this, you'll do something great for God, because God has done something great for you and I by giving us Jesus. We love you very much. On behalf of Cambodian and brothers and sisters, we pray that you come visit us sometimes. We want to thank you for allowing us to be here. We want to thank you for all your faithfulness and letting this part of the world know that our God is a great God. Do something great for God. Thank you.